national.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's day six at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament in Cameroon. This competition, also called CHAN, is for African players who ply their trade in their respective home leagues. So you won't see players like Egypt and Liverpool star Mohamed Salah, who is currently leading the English Premier League in scoring with 13 goals. Thursday's Group B matches at the CHAN tournament will be played in Douala, Cameroon. Libya will play the Democratic Republic of Congo, and that will be followed by a game between Niger and Congo Brazzaville. The DR Congo currently tops the table with 3 points from one match, followed by Libya and Niger with 1 point each, and Congo Brazzaville with no points. In Group A results Wednesday in Yaoundé, host Cameroon and Mali played to a one-all draw, and Burkina Faso eliminated Zimbabwe with a 3-1 victory. Cameroon and Mali now top Group A with 4 points each from two matches. Burkina Faso remains in contention with 3 points, and Zimbabwe is officially out with no points. Looking ahead to Friday's matches in Douala, defending CHAN champion Morocco will meet Rwanda, and Uganda will take on Togo. Morocco beat Togo in its opening group match 1-0, while neighbors Rwanda and Uganda played to a scoreless draw. We'll hear now from Uganda's head coach, Jonathan McKinstry.
We've got a big game against Togo, and it's a big game for them as well, because obviously having lost to Morocco in their opening game, they will be hungry for points. So we've got to put the players back together now and make sure that we have as many people back to full fitness as possible. Obviously, our doctors are going to have to assess Milton Karisa, who, you know, obviously, as everyone saw, after only sort of 11, 12 minutes, pulled up with an injury. So we'll have to assess that. Yeah, it's about putting the players back together, getting back on the training field, and really just, you know, it's a case of removing the fear from the players, because we know if they pass the ball, we know that if they move it and they play that one and two touch football and get it into our midfielders and get it into the feet of our wide forwards, that we can be really effective.
That's Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of Uganda's national men's football team, and he was speaking at the CHAN tournament in Cameroon.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In American-style football, four teams remain in contention for the Super Bowl title. The National Football League will hold its conference championship games this Sunday, January 24th. In the NFC championship game, the Green Bay Packers will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that will be followed by the AFC championship game. The defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs are at home against the Buffalo Bills. Joining us now for a preview is Dan Friedell. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It's good to be here with you. It's kind of amazing that we're toward the end of the National Football League season here. In a year that's been marked by the coronavirus, the season is wrapping up on schedule.
Dan, as we look at the schedule of games on Sunday, quarterback certainly center stage. Three of the four quarterbacks have lifted the Super Bowl trophy in the past. The one wild card is Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Dan, take a look at the quarterback matchups for our Voice of America listeners.
Sonny, the NFC matchup between the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is highlighted by two of the best quarterbacks to have ever played American football. That's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Now, it seems like you and I have been talking about Tom Brady every winter, as long as we've known each other, which is about 5 years. Tom Brady, though, is on a new team. And there was a lot of question as to whether Tom Brady would be able to lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who do have a Super Bowl in their past and some history of being a fairly strong team in the last 20 years or so. But before that, they were really seen as one of the inept teams in NFL history down in South Florida. Tom Brady finished up his career last year with the New England Patriots, and the New England Patriots have defined the NFL for nearly two decades. This combination of Tom Brady and his coach Bill Belichick have resulted in numerous Super Bowl championships, numerous trips to the playoffs. Tom Brady, in his first year with Tampa Bay, is one game away from the Super Bowl, which is just amazing.
We have great chemistry. We have fun at practice. It's hard to get to this point. There's nothing guaranteed from this point forward, but you know, we got to go out there and we're going to have to play our very best to beat one of the best teams in the league.
That's Tom Brady, a six-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. Brady is now one victory away from another Super Bowl trip, this time around with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedell about the upcoming National Football League Conference Championship games in the NFC contest. Quite a quarterback duel between Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Dan, let's turn our attention now to the AFC title contest between the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. Big question marks about the star quarterback for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, who was injured last weekend. Dan, can the Chiefs win without Mahomes?
Sonny, that's the number one question that all of the analysts are trying to come up with an answer for as we head into the weekend. Pat Mahomes, he is the heir apparent to a player like Brady and an heir apparent to Green Bay's quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who, as I mentioned, is an absolute shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. Mahomes has one of the strongest arms in the NFL. He's easily able to throw the ball two-thirds of the length of the field. He's young. He can run. He's the engineer of this offense that is designed by Andy Reid. They already won a Super Bowl together last year. They're the defending Super Bowl champs. And in this season that has been filled with question marks, Pat Mahomes has been like the guaranteed winner every week. The Chiefs, I have to say, the Chiefs didn't finish the year particularly strong. They played a lot of close games, but it just seemed it was like they were playing with their food, like a cat just batting around a mouse. They always knew they were going to win, and they didn't seem to have to play particularly hard to win these games. And then last weekend, they were playing my hometown team, the Cleveland Browns, a kind of an upstart young team that had a lot of adversity this year and won a playoff game against their arch rival Pittsburgh Steelers. The Browns looked like they might have had a chance to win this game in the fourth quarter as Pat Mahomes left with a concussion. And the backup quarterback was able to keep the Chiefs in the lead.
It's definitely a big adrenaline rush. Obviously, you never want to see a guy like Patrick go down. Obviously, you know, one of the best players in the league, but that's why I'm here.
Now, the Chiefs were winning when Mahomes left the game, but it looked like Cleveland might have a chance to get the ball at the end and drive down for a touchdown to win the game and upset the Chiefs. That would have been a huge upset. We still don't know if Pat Mahomes is going to be in this game on Sunday. And if he isn't, it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs to beat the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Buffalo Bills are a team in the same vein as a team like Cleveland. They haven't had much success in the playoffs recently. They were one of the best NFL teams in the 1990s. They had all these amazing players, Jim Kelly, the quarterback, Thurman Thomas, this outstanding running back, but they were never able to win the Super Bowl. And they kind of became a laughing stock for their ineptitude, which was unfair. You think about a team getting to the Super Bowl three times in a 10-year span. It's one of the best teams in NFL history. They just happened to lose on the big stage each time. And here the Buffalo Bills are back. They have a dynamic young quarterback in Josh Allen, who, very similar to Mahomes, I just mentioned that the marquee matchup of the weekend is these two veteran quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, who have been rewriting the record books during the last 10 years for sure, and 20 years overall in Brady's case. But the combination of Allen and Mahomes, if that were to come to be where Mahomes would be healthy enough to play, that actually could be the most exciting matchup of the two games. You know, you have these wily veterans playing each other on one side, but on the other side, you have two of the most exciting players in the NFL. And it'd be kind of sad if they didn't get to play each other on Sunday because Mahomes wasn't able to play.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedell about the upcoming National Football League Conference Championship games, which will take place in Kansas City and Green Bay. Dan, taking a look at that Green Bay contest between the Packers and the Buccaneers, how much of an advantage will it be for the Packers to play there at Lambeau Field if it's one of those classic cold, wintry, snowy days in Green Bay? I'm shivering, Dan, just thinking about it. But really, Dan, what will home field advantage mean for the Packers, especially if we have those winter conditions?
Sonny, the interesting thing about Aaron Rodgers' career is that even though he's played in a lot of important games, he won a Super Bowl. These fans that are Packers fans are some of the most famous fans in the NFL. Some of our listeners might know them as the Cheeseheads. The fans dress in green and yellow, and they wear these big foam slices of cheese on their head. The Packers fans have made it through some games in the most frigid weather in NFL history. And this weekend, there's a chance of snow. It's going to be below freezing. It'll be a tough game because you think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They play in South Florida where it's warm right now. There won't be that many fans in the stadium because of social distancing, but it should be a great opportunity for Rodgers to get another crack at the Super Bowl. Now, if the Packers make it to the Super Bowl, it'll be Rodgers' attempt to win his second Super Bowl and really solidify himself as one of these top three or four quarterbacks of all time. And there's something special about these outdoor games in January in the northern part of the United States. It just makes it seem like these are these true gladiators on the field. You can see their breath. There's the possibility of snow. And Rodgers has been one of the most efficient quarterbacks in NFL history. I think he'll be able to handle the bad weather for sure. It'll be a real question to see if Tampa Bay can do the same.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Friedell. And we'll hear more National Football League insights from Dan during Friday's show.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In auto racing, women are ready to return to the Indianapolis 500 starting line this year with a female-led ownership group and driver. Peretta Autosport will be led by automotive and motorsport executive Beth Peretta.
The opening ceremonies of the Indy 500 are some of the most, it's the rich pageantry of the 500 is amazing. The energy here, if you ever have the opportunity to be here in person, it's like nothing else. There are 300,000 people here. There's just this energy. And when you think about, so I grew up watching it on TV, right? And so there's those iconic things that we all are familiar with. And there's that lineup of the starting grid, and that when the teams are out there early on, and there's that sort of swooping crane shot. And the idea of seeing a line of women with matching uniforms, okay, you might say that's cool, but to a 10-year-old girl watching that from home, it hits differently.
Beth Peretta says change is happening in auto racing. Beth says during the past several years, there has been some progress to get more female drivers on the grid. For the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500 on May 30th, Peretta called Swiss racing driver Simona De Silvestro.
Beth actually called me a few months ago and told me about this opportunity. And I think literally an hour later, I was on a Zoom call with Roger Penske and Bud Denker. It was quite surreal that it all happened so quickly. And for me to really come back to the speedway with a constellation like this, with the association with T. Penske, it's really... to be honest, as a driver, a dream come true. And I think it's something that is really special.
Simona De Silvestro has raced at the Indianapolis 500 five times previously, with her last appearance in 2015. She is one of several women who have been behind the wheel at a race nicknamed the greatest spectacle in racing. Meanwhile, Beth Peretta says she believes there is a lot more to do and a lot more opportunities for women in IndyCar racing. The Indianapolis 500 is usually held in late May here in the USA, either on or around the Memorial Day holiday. But last year, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, it was pushed back about 3 months to August. Japanese driver Takuma Sato won his second Indy 500 title, having won the race previously in 2017.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100-hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African boxing, the sport is helping children in Nairobi relieve anger and stress with a Kenyan lawyer proving to be a mentor in and out of the ring. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Young people who live in some of Nairobi's poorest neighborhoods are learning how to overcome life's challenges in their doing it with the help of Shadrach Wambui, a Kenyan lawyer who has combined his knowledge of the law with his love for boxing. And he tells Reuters News his two passions are a natural fit.
I find it very easy combining being a boxer and being a lawyer, because on one field, on one hand, I fight for people's causes, I fight for people's lives, I fight for people's livelihoods, I fight for people's inheritance. I fight for people's lives, literally speaking. When you're representing people who, upon conviction, might get a sentence of up to death, so you realize that you're fighting for people's lives.
Wambui knows what it's like to literally fight for his life. The 29-year-old grew up poor in Mathare and used boxing to help release his frustrations over police brutality and abuse. And Wambui says the sport helped him avoid confrontation and become a more disciplined student.
Through the hands of the police officers, we lost livelihoods, and we also lost loved ones. So I grew up knowing that I wanted to be counted as police officers. But really, the idea of becoming a lawyer, I learned of it in class 8 and class 7. That there was this profession known as the legal practitioners or the legal profession. But if you enrolled in it, it will help you in championing your course. So that is how I now embarked on my journey to becoming an advocate.
In 2018, Wambui was admitted to the Kenyan bar, and since then, he has convinced 50 more young lawyers to volunteer their time to help kids learn not only boxing techniques, but also their basic rights as a citizen. And Wambui says that 1-2 combination was the same foundation for one of the world's greatest human rights leaders.
It will be remembered that Nelson Madiba Mandela, Rohilala, was also a boxer and a lawyer. So really, being a boxer is about fighting. Being a lawyer is about fighting. So the causes, they're the ones that differ. But both the martial art and the profession require some sense of commitment. They require an inner drive and you must have that inner encouragement. You must encourage yourself.
According to a Reuters investigation published in 2018, police bribery and more serious offenses like assault and murder are common in poor Nairobi districts, and the victims almost never get justice. Wambui hopes his boxing sessions will help young people learn to believe in themselves despite the challenges they face. Last year, other trainers in Mathare used the sport of boxing to offer hope to school children during the coronavirus lockdown. In March 2020, the Kenyan government ordered the shutdown of schools nationwide to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. For months, school children were forced to find a much-needed outlet. So dozens of kids walked through the doors of the Mathare North Boxing Club, where trainers centers offer lessons to children who would otherwise be stuck indoors. And assistant boxing coach John Kimani tells Reuters the kids learn about more than just the sport. Kimani says since the passing of the club's founder, trainers have taken over the gym and given back to the community free of charge. He says kids don't come to the boxing club to just learn the sport, they learn life lessons as well. The club was established in 1985, and before John Kimani became an assistant coach, he was one of several professional boxers who trained at the gym. Now, Kenyan Vanessa Wanjira trains there, and the 14-year-old says she has big dreams of one day becoming a champion.
I train because I want to be a champion, and instead of staying in the slums, I come here and start training with my colleagues here in the gym. And I prefer training than idling in the slums with those girls who can lead me to bad ways.
Andrew Odhiambo has boxed since he was 8 years old. Now 18, he says he wants to use the sport to help him give back to his community. Odhiambo says he knows everything about boxing and he wants to help his peers. And with more students coming in than trainers can handle, he comes in to help. He says when a coach is not in, he takes over training sessions so students won't miss a class. The gym has seen more and more neighboring kids coming in to train during the global pandemic, and the club is adhering to all social distancing and hygiene guidelines to fight the virus. Head coach Bernard Marui says he hopes the boxing program will help kids stay busy and out of trouble. And with training at such a high demand, Mathare North Boxing Club could be grooming the next Kenyan champion. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. The Nigeria Cricket Federation says its National Under-17 Championship has revealed some potential stars, especially in the girls category. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the federation's general manager, Emeka Igwilo.
In my own assessment, I would say that the girls' zonal qualifications, which took place in five regions of Nigeria, was a very big boost for the National Under-17 Cricket Championships in Nigeria. Apart from the quality of the game witnessed across the cities, we saw participation of 21 states across the regions. So it's a very big boost for the cricket development and for the female cricket in Nigeria.
Did the championship record upset among the girls' team? If yes, give us some details.
For the upset, I will take the performances of Ekiti State cricket team that defeated for the first time Oyo, Ogun, and Lagos States. It was a very big surprise for everybody because Ekiti as a state has not matched to these three states, but they were able to play them and defeat them in the competition to represent Southwest.
Do you see some potential and future national team players from the girls' category?
Yes, there are a lot of potentials we have discovered. Luckily, we are going to witness all those potentials in the finals. That is the essence of this competition. We're going to see them in the finals, and that will give us opportunity of having a close look at the players to give opportunity for those that will represent the nation. We are making effort to a formidable national team.
That's Emeka Igwilo, the general manager of the Nigeria Cricket Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. That wraps up the January 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
get it.